This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Michael Felder, it's been an absolute pleasure. The listeners are loving it. And by listeners, I mean viewers in part. We're hanging out with you on Twitch and YouTube in your lair. I'm not going to ask you about the 2025 YMCA summer camp guide. Not going to ask you about that. Not going to ask you. Going to ask you about Duke's mayonnaise jars.
Why do you have that?
That's worth a lot of money.
We just take everything that's embarrassing and we move it out of here so it doesn't look like you live in Neverland Ranch.
I believe you have two commemorative jars of Duke's mayonnaise. Explain yourself. Three now. We're up to three. What the hell is going on with that?
Yo, if you ever had Duke's mayonnaise, you ain't had mayonnaise, dog.
When you don't drink, people always need to know why, too. They're like, you don't drink? Why? This never happens with anything else. You don't use mayonnaise? Why? Are you addicted to mayonnaise? Is it okay if I use mayonnaise?
I lived in Chicago for 4 years. Lolo knows this. And the reality is, I made deviled eggs and I made potato salad for my neighbors. And they were like, how can it be this good? And I was like, it's the Duke's. It's got that twang.
He's right.
You know what they put on French fries in Holland instead of ketchup?
What?
Mayonnaise. I've seen them do it, man. They drown them in this.
I've never had it. I've never had it.
You never had Duke?
I know. Michael.
Hey, bro.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Come on.
All right.
Come mayonnaise on your chin. What? Mayonnaise. Mayonnaise.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Michael Felder was tremendous yesterday. More from him in a little bit. Shane is here. Tanny's here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello, people.
We've got you till 6 o'clock. Here's what we got going on the show today. Joe Cowley is going to talk about the Bulls and are we rooting for them to win or are we rooting for them to lose?
I want to know if it's real. I want to know if any of this improved play is real, is worth, you know, giving your interest to, frankly.
And I guess we're rooting for a home game for the play-in thing.
It's a lot to sort out. It's a lot to figure out, and Joe will help us do it.
He'll help us do that. We'll also have some conversation, some bigger NBA conversation as well. Ben's vision at 3 o'clock today. Let's talk about edge rushers. There'll also be a ton of baseball thrown into the conversation as well. But let's start with some of the stuff that went on yesterday's show and a feeling that I had, Spiegs, driving out of here and also this morning thinking about the show. After we had the conversation with Felder about Ben Johnson, and Michael Felder is a college football analyst. He is awesome at his job. In the Bleachers is where you can find him on socials. He was teammates with Ben Johnson at North Carolina.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that we've gotten a chance yesterday, and people need to hear this, to get this perspective, which is very human and connective and experiential, but it's from a football person. You know, it's so it's not like, oh, he's a great guy. And it's not like, oh, I was his coach and I taught him everything. It was, no, we were teammates and he was roommates with my best friend and we used to hang out. And this is what I know about him. And oh, by the way, I've been covering football for 25 years. So it's like, it's a very unique perspective.
All I know is that when I hear people talk about Ben Johnson, I'm excited for what that could mean for the Bears. Now, to be fair, a lot of times when there's a new coach who comes in, that new coach does get a lot of love from whatever corner of football that they were at. I do not remember this being the case with Matt Eberflus. Like there being there are people like, oh, he's a really good defensive coach and I'm happy for him. Like that's usually kind of what people were saying about Matt Eberflus. It was never like, oh, he is an innovator or he's going to do blank. It was more like he has paid his dues. He's ready for this opportunity. Now, the truth was he wasn't ready for that opportunity. But you always get scared, or at least I do. I shouldn't put that on anyone else. When you hear people say all the nice things, and I found myself driving home yesterday thinking, man, I really want all of these things that we have heard about Ben Johnson to be true. The reporting that you did on this, Speaks, the way that you kind of got everyone ready for it, the approach that he's taken, what I've heard from people at Hallis Hall about the way things are going, the idea that that's a true partnership, that we're at least from what it looks like with him and Ryan Poles. I desperately want it to be true for the Bears to do well and for Bears fans to have what they want. Because remember, this was the guy. And the Bears don't specialize in getting the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they got him. And it's like, okay, they got him. Is he good? I hope so. I really hope that he's good.
And we've been hearing a lot of good stuff, a lot of good cuts from him, a lot of good verbiage from him. And he seems to be coming off as a very solid front man. But again, I thought this perspective was really valuable.
Yeah, Felder told us a lot of stuff, including some stuff that you definitely want to hear about your quarterback.
I think he can work miracles with Caleb Williams, if we're being honest. Like, he is someone, and I thought Dan Campbell was a great foil for him, because Ben, up until he got the Chicago job, you never heard Ben talk, right?
Correct.
So I think now he's got to talk, he's got to be out in front, and I think that's the part that might be a little bit more different for him. The football, don't worry about him with football. Do not worry about Ben Johnson with football. This man is going to destroy it. He is going to go out there and he's going to make sure that Caleb is protected. We've already seen that right now in the offseason. We're probably going to see it more in the draft as well. Make sure this guy's protected. And when I say protected, I mean protected from an offensive line standpoint, but protected also from a defensive standpoint. And then you're going to load him up with weapons and you're going to call plays that work. And I think that I'm not worried about that. I think Caleb Williams is going to be in a really good spot to where he's going to be able to go out, make plays, find ways to get guys the football in the best way, and also not have to be the guy that makes every single play. It's going to be, whether it's your tight ends, it's your wide receivers, it's all this stuff. You have DJ Moore still, right? Like, this is a thing where you have an opportunity to call plays that allow for this, for Ben's mind and for obviously his staff, for them to create space. And if you can create space in the NFL, then you create touchdowns.
I'd love to know what your scouting report on Caleb was coming out last year. And was there anything that you saw with him with the Bears that gave you any sort of pause on what you thought he could be coming out of USC?
Man, why are you doing this to me, dude? Come on, man.
Because you're the best at this.
Well, you're on in Chicago.
I thought he was reckless. I just thought he was a little bit reckless and relied a lot on his athleticism. And I think Ben has the ability, because Ben was also a quarterback in college. Ben couldn't reel that in to make him have to get through his progressions, to make him have to get through what he sees. And I think Ben's really good at that. And that's the thing that Ben was really good at. He had to be good at in college. And so I think about that. I also think about
the fact that Caleb does. But when you have preternatural, like this insane talent, sometimes you rely on it. And I think that making, and I think about this a lot, because if I'm not mistaken, Ben paid to play the season for Butch Davis, because he left. I left before him. Butch took a guy like, was it Quinn? Butch took Quinn and made Quinn play real football instead of just using his talent. And I think Ben's, that's another place where Ben can draw from. But the reality for me is he's going to make him have to play real football. And then guess what? When things get a little bit hairy, right? When things get hairy, when things get a little bit, you know, what's the word? When things are
off schedule, off platform, he can make those plays.
I was going to say FUBAR, but yeah.
FUBAR works too.
It does work. But it's nice to hear that. It's nice to hear Felder, I think, give a really accurate portrayal of some of the stuff that Caleb Williams did last year and know, hey, here's a guy who can actually help him with this instead of what we've seen, what we saw last year, where it was like he was just kind of left to his own devices.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be really interesting because we're going to start to be able to see some things that we pick apart and we're upset about, because we'll have games and we'll have mistakes and we will have youth. We will have development that's not necessarily linear. And a lot of that's going to be Caleb. I think it's going to be a very interesting year for Caleb, because Caleb does not have the stuff that Jared Goff has. And not that Ben Johnson is going to try and recreate the same thing, but Caleb doesn't have some of the perfect footwork that, like, the quick throw quarterback game needs to have. He doesn't have some of that. But
to be fair, it took Jared Goff a little while to develop that.
Yeah, but sure. So insert another basic quarterback to do the quick throw stuff. We don't know that Caleb has that, and I don't think that he's had to have that. And Ben's gonna demand it, as he should. And I found myself thinking back to, like, before the rookie year, when we would talk to all sorts of people. We talked to the quarterback coach. Who was the quarterback coach, Shane? His guy, Will Hewlett. Will Hewlett. Caleb Williams' guy, Will Hewlett. And I remember him saying, Caleb craves structure. He craves structure. And I remember being so excited about that, because, like, all right, here we go. Now, we just want him to do simple and play simple within structure. Let a run game be good. And then when it's time, unleash the special. But go ahead and play within the structure. They had a really terrible freaking structure. He didn't have a chance to even show that he could do that. So now he's going to be given that. And now the onus is going to be on Caleb to play on time, to play quick, to play within structure, and then unleash the special like we all kind of expected and hoped it would be, but to do what the offense demands of him. And I think it's going to be a challenge for Caleb.
I'm more optimistic than you are about it. I think that because the teaching, one, he'll actually have it. Two, it's clearly better, that it'll help him along in that. And now that he has had, I don't want to call it failure, but failures inside of the NFL, I imagine with the competitor that he is, that he spent a lot of time working through some of that and where he could get better. I talked with Kevin Fishbane this weekend. There's all sorts of videos of Caleb already, like, doing stuff under center and giving you play action footwork.
Good.
On his own.
But it's going to be a matter of the pocket presence, of in the moment when the rushers are coming and when you're standing there.
For sure.
And we know that Caleb, if he has any tendencies, it's to do a little bit of hero ball and to hold it a little bit longer. Right? And it's understandable. It's a lot of college football players have those tendencies. I just don't know how much he legit got a chance to work through that stuff last year with all the chaos that was going on around him. So we could see him having to work out a lot of that stuff as if it were a rookie acclimation this year.
Well, it's good to me, though, that he clearly looked at the tape and was like, I'm going to be asked to do this. So I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait until I get into the building on April 7th or whenever. I'm going to go now. I'm going to use this time to make myself a better player. And the hope is that you can speed up that learning curve just a bit that he's going to have, because this is a different offense. It's a different coach. And the idea of building off of the success of what your offseason is intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get to the stumble bum. You can't get to all of the really fun, cool stuff
without doing the basics.
Mm-hmm.
You got to walk first. And Caleb's going to be asked to do a lot of walking. Hopefully they're going to be asked to do a lot of running, a lot of handing it off, a lot of pitching to get that run game going and then work magic off of it.
Yeah, and getting your guys open space, giving him opportunities to make plays, maybe zeroing in on his targeting now that he's got a better sense of timing of how NFL games are played and what type of ground NFL defenders mm-hmm. can cover. Maybe we'll see him be more accurate on the go balls, on the deep passes, than he was last year.
That would be lovely. We have a little bit of breaking Bears news here. I guess it's Cleveland Browns news. The Browns are signing Tevin Jenkins, according to Jordan Schultz. Browns and Tevin Jenkins, I don't see terms anywhere. So
I would be shocked if it was more than 2 years.
I think
it's probably one.
It might be a one-year prove-it deal for Tevin Jenkins here in the bargain season on the calendar for NFL free agency.
It's a pretty good bargain.
For sure.
It's a risk worth taking, but in my opinion.
From Tevin's perspective, though, it's like, I mean, you dream of this moment to be an NFL free agent and to cash in, and it didn't turn out like that.
From Tevin, you guys have a skyscraper?
Do they in Cleveland? Do they have
like
any?
Two.
God, that's
you think Cleveland's cool?
No, I don't.
I never heard anyone say they're going on vacation to Cleveland.
I agree. Joakim, I agree. And he's kind of, that's a big skyscraper step down for Tevin.
I mean, they have a legitimate downtown in Cleveland.
Yeah, but how high is the biggest building in Cleveland? 90 floors. If I say 90 floors, you're going over or under?
80. I'll probably go under 90 floors.
If I go 80, at 80 and a half.
If you set the line at 80 and a half.
Setting the line
floors,
at 80 and a half for the floors of the tallest Cleveland skyscraper.
I'll go slightly over.
Okay.
You're going over 80 and a half, Speaks. You said what?
I said 80 and a half. I said, I'll go under 80 and a half.
57.
57.
That's 947 feet, the key tower. That's their one skyscraper.
They have one. That's not enough. Tevin deserves more skyscrapers.
The second tallest building behind it is the 200 Public Square building the Terminal Tower Residences. It's 708 feet. That does not qualify as a skyscraper.
Oh, man, it's too bad. They only have one. That's a big step down. How many do we have here? We throw the skyscrapers at you.
I don't know. Count the cranes.
Yeah, we need more cranes. That'll tell you.
And, well, not here anymore. We don't need them here. You should check in Arlington Heights, though. I would imagine there'll be plenty of cranes in Arlington Heights very soon.
Just announce it already. Just go ahead.
Just go put your shovels in the ground.
It's time.
Like you were telling us you were going
to. It's okay.
It's totally fine.
You can just go
no
ahead
one
and
cares.
Do it.
It's fine that they're going to be out there in 5 years. It's totally okay.
36 starts for Tevin Jenkins over 3 years, last 3 years with the Bears. 27 years old and now off to Cleveland. That's a good dude.
I feel bad for him because his whole interaction with the Bears and front offices with the Bears just kind of derailed what I'm sure he thought his plans were. And now you're like, oh, okay, well, I got to go midway through my career. I have to go reinvent myself in another place, and that place is bad, and there's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, man, I'm always going to think about that one training camp when it was clear that Ryan Poles didn't believe in him as a tackle, and we all spent a couple weeks trying to figure out what the hell's going on here. And there was that day that Tevin wasn't on the field and nobody knew why, and he was like back in the offices talking about stuff, and then he showed up. So there was like there were some relationships falling apart mixed in with the health issues.
It seemed like those things got fixed, and he found himself as an NFL guard. And if he stays healthy, then
He'll be an NFL guard.
Yeah.
And he could be somebody who swings out to tackle when you need him in a pinch.
Ideally.
Yeah.
So I'm glad for him. I'm really, really glad for him. I hope that he has a world of health and is able to get 5 or 6 more years on his career.
I'm thinking about now all of the connective sound and moments that we had with Tevin. There was the Wendy's interaction with Mark Grody, where Grody asked him if he's going to get a baked potato.
Ohio. Baconator, large strawberry lemonade, large fry. You get a 10-piece spicy nugget, and if I'm feeling it, maybe a frosty.
Baked potato.
Ohio is the place to get Wendy's.
Is it a good? Oh, that's what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
That they
so
have.
He's got that going for him.
He's got the Wendy's stuff going for him. Juan Castillo sent him to Home Depot to get Christmas lights for the Christmas tree.
He likes Christmas trees.
He does. You know, he's a sweet guy. There was that one time where, like, pictures of him from the practice field, he had no face. Tevin had no face. So that was a thing for a little while. We've had a lot of moments with Tevin. Yep.
Give your fiance a big hug and take good care of her. And I really appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much, man. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you.
That's right. Tevin's going to give his fiance a hug for Mark Grody.
Hey, got to be Mr. Steal Your Girl, Mark Grody. He's got to be careful.
He's got to be hurting. Grody's got to be sad.
We could check in with him later
Check in with Grody, see how he's processing the loss of Tevin Jenkins. I agree. This is a day to do that.
When we come back, there's a story that you might not be aware of that you should be aware of, and you might even be prompted to help. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
Oh, man. Bobby Jenks on 670 The Score with me, Matt Spiegel, and you, Ryan McGuffey.
You know, one of the things I teach now is I don't give a shit if you're this. Oh, sorry, cussing.
We got you.
I don't care. Okay. I don't care if you're the 7th inning guy, 8th inning guy, 9th, or even with the new extra inning, you're the 10th inning guy. Every single inning, you are the closer. And if you don't go in with that mentality, you're not going to be successful. Every inning coming out of the bullpen is a closing inning. You got to win that inning to win the game.
Bobby, thanks, man. This was really fun, dude. Appreciate it.
Always good talking to you, man.
And nice to talk to you.
Oh, anytime, fellas. Anytime.
Bobby Jenks, I'm trying to think of what the right way to describe him as a White Sox is. Iconic? Like, because there's the iconic video of Ozzie calling for him from the dugout. And then you have in that moment in that season where you have Dustin Hermanson and Shingo Takatsu. And then all of a sudden, this guy from A-ball pops up. And it's Bobby Jenks. And he's out there just throwing flamethrowers people and getting folks out.
I think the first thing would be champion, right? Because without him, it doesn't happen that you end up with a lockdown closer and roll through. It probably doesn't happen. And he's that guy. But you're right to add the Ruthian flavor and the out of nowhere flavor to it, because
and the everyman-ness of him
is just crazy. And it was fun that he was wild, and fun that he was heavy and still good. And this is the danger sometimes that lifestyle can come back around. And Bobby Jenks, who is very, very ill, told Scott Merkin a month ago when he was talking about how he ended up with this condition
with
that
stomach
he has,
cancer.
With stomach cancer. He said, you know, the bleep I was doing in my 20s and my early 30s, no normal person would have survived. So in one way, I'm grateful to be alive. In another way, I'm not surprised this happened. Goes to show you have to take care of yourself from top to bottom with nutrition, exercise, having a good daily plan. So Bobby's gotten to a very thoughtful place in a very difficult portion of his life.
And he might be being too hard on himself. Some of that stuff is
hereditary
just genetics.
And it's also just happenstance sometimes.
Yeah, it might not have been what he deems as abuse of his body early on in his 20s, but he's struggling.
Mm.
And he's also struggling to get the health care that he needs. So, and on top of it, he was one of the people's houses who burned down in the Palisades in the fires this past winter.
Yeah, we got some information today because we wanted to clarify. So we reached out to the White Sox to see if they were involved at all in what had been a viral moment. Shane, you want to tell people what the viral moment is? Because he's doing a signing, and that kind of swept through White Sox Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, so the Past Pros Instagram account posted a story that basically said, hey, we're doing a signing for Bobby Jenks to benefit his family in his basically what they're saying is imminent passing, as they said, this will likely be his last autograph signing. And that's kind of what struck people the most.
So you can send stuff to him through what, the 25th?
Through the 25th. That's the last day you can send something, as long as it's postmarked by then. But the signing's in Portugal, but you can go on the website, passpros.com, and just search Bobby Jenks, and you can get the address there for you can send stuff for him to sign.
Because they're raising money for his health
care. Him and his family, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So the White Sox had said, I reached out to Scott Reifert, who said that Bobby's wife is European. They moved to Portugal this offseason to see how they liked it. Once he was there, he started to suffer these effects. And while there, as you mentioned, Lawrence, the home they had in Pacific Palisades burned down, which is insane. So this fundraiser is happening, and the White Sox apparently have been speaking to Bobby throughout this process, which is nice to know, and they got his approval on something the White Sox are going to announce next week.
Good. So I mean, that's really good. That, you know, that doesn't surprise me. Like, organizationally, they don't want to leave people out there when they can do something to help. And White Sox fans will, I'm sure, once the White Sox decide what it is that they're going to do, the fans of this team, with the 20th anniversary of the World Series team,
yeah,
and him being such an integral part of it,
mm-hmm,
they're going to do what they can to help. And you know?
Yeah, there's a reunion in July. And so Bobby apparently, according to Scott, was on the phone with him and said, he said he sounded optimistic about hopefully making it to the reunion in July.
Man, that would be great.
That would be amazing. Is that,
and whenever you have someone who's dealing with something like that, the idea of goals, of trying to make it to things, whether it's a graduation or a wedding, or it can mean the world to that person. So if this is something that's going to help Bobby Jenks work through what is the worst thing that can happen to someone who's relatively young, then great. I'm sure the White Sox are going to do something magnificent for him and his family.
Yeah, they'll announce something next week, apparently. The reunion, man. 20 years for that team. I hope it's big. I hope players show. I hope all the formers show.
Well, I mean, what did we have at spring training?
Konerko and Dye were out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a great place to start, mm-hmm, if you're talking about any sort of reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Burley was in town at Sox Fest.
Right. Who else was here?
He gets
Rowan?
The statue. And I'm sure the statue is July 11th, I believe.
So is that when they're doing the reunion, too? Burley statue surrounding that?
I would imagine that's when it's going to happen.
Man, that could be some fun.
Yeah, it absolutely could be.
Who else was at the Sox Fest? You were out there over at the Remova. Was Rowan there?
I feel like there were a couple more.
Freddie Garcia, yeah. Jose Contreras, Mark Burley, and I think that was it, right?
There were a couple more people, but I can't remember who. But I did see Freddie and Jose, and obviously Burley did media afterwards. He was great. Like, he was in such a good mood. He was completely surprised by the idea that there's going to be like a statue.
Hmm.
And he was taken aback by it. And that team has meant a lot to a lot of people. So the hope is that it can culminate with there being healing in whatever form that takes. Because it can be mental healing, spiritual healing for Bobby Jenks.
Yeah, well, I mean, Texter points out how Steve McMichael lived to see his name called in Canton, you know? Had that as a big goal.
Yeah, and those guys really rallied around him, too. And seeing my old partner, Dan Hampton, and the crew go up there and play music for him, and how much that meant to them, so that they could express what Mongo meant to them. Like, I'm glad to see that there are people that are rallying around him. I'm sorry that he or anyone has to go through stuff like this. It's horrible.
Sad, sad stuff for sure. Pastpros.com and search for Bobby Jenks, and you could find this this signing and an opportunity to give. I have two baseball options for you. Would you like the Cubs moves that they just made?
Yes.
The Cubs have sent Jordan Wicks down to AAA and have sent Eli Morgan down to AAA. So Jordan Wicks will not be your fifth starter, nor a lefty in the bullpen. And Eli Morgan, who appeared in the second game against the Dodgers, the former Cleveland Guardian, will apparently not be on the opening day roster, if we are to read this correctly. It's because they have to get down from 31 to 25.
Okay.
So, or 26, I should say. So there's that. And then would you like the random baseball nugget I've been holding on to and really wanting to deliver? Or we? It's super quick. Max Scherzer's sixth grade teacher in cultures and geography was Jake Berger's mother. Good night, everybody. Just wanted you to know that.
When we come back, let's talk a little ball. Ben's vision. We'll talk defensive ends next on The Score.
That was super random note.